In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today we're going to be contemplating on a very important dogma. It's about the incarnation of the Word of God. Do you prefer that I go English-Arabic or Arabic, or doesn't matter? Okay. Okay, very good. So, the book that I read about the Incarnation is a very old book, actually. One of the masterpieces in Incarnation about the Word of God. It's written by Saint Athanasius. We know that Saint Athanasius is the Pope, the 20th Pope of the See of Alexandria. Pope Saint Athanasius had other deep books written. You remember that Saint Athanasius stood against the Arianism at one time, and he was defending the dogma of the Trinity of God, whole and undefiled. Otherwise, at the time, the whole world would have slipped, the whole civilized world would have slipped in the Arianism religion, which would deny the divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at the time, Saint Athanasius was against the whole world. And it says like that in Greek, Athanasius contra mondum. Athanasius did the alam. Wal alam kullu kan biharib Athanasius. So, but this book today is the book about the Incarnation. I don't know if you heard about C.S. Lewis, but I've been reading for C.S. Lewis. And he has a nice book called Mere Christianity. And in his book, he was referring Saint Athanasius' book about the Incarnation. So he has already summarized the whole book in one sentence. Actually, it's a rephrase of a sentence by Saint Athanasius. And this sentence is like that. The Son of God became man so that men become Son of God. That's the whole summary of the book of Saint Athanasius. But he was defending so many points. I sent you some questions that I wanted to discuss together, and I was hoping that you helped me out during this discussion. So I'll be putting a question, and I'd like to know your opinion. First, I want to tell you why is it so important for us to understand why is it that the Son of God, so high and so uncontained and so unlimited, become man? Why? Why is it so important? That's very important for our faith and our Christianity. And actually, we're going to see that this is very important to our salvation as well. So there is a deep link between understanding the Incarnation and the salvation. Link between both of them. You cannot believe in the salvation unless you understand the Incarnation. And the Incarnation is also related to the creation. So that's how Saint Athanasius started his book, The Creation. At the time of Saint Athanasius, there were a lot of theories about the creation. So we're going to speak about these theories very quick. And we're going to compare between these theories and the Orthodox view of the Incarnation. One of the theories has been by a group called the Epicureans, Al-Abikureyin. And these people denied totally the existence of God. They believed in a world that has been created haphazardly, existing or pre-existing chaos that formed the whole world, but there is no God. Don't talk to me about God. Doesn't that ring a bell right now with the atheist? You talk to an atheist, and he doesn't believe in the existence of God. He feels like, you know, the whole world. You tell him about the creation. You tell him about how the stars and the sun and all of it are orderly directed by a supreme being, but he doesn't believe that. So that's one view. The world has no creator, has no maker. The second view is the Platonism. Platonism. And these people believed that the world was created by God, but God created this world using an existing matter, pre-existing matter. Without it, God couldn't create anything. And that in itself attributes some limitation to God. Don't you agree? If God cannot create the matter, then he's not a creator, he's not a maker. We can call him a craftsman. It's like exactly the carpenter. You give him a piece of wood and you ask him to make me a table, make me a chair, he can. If there is no wood, he cannot fashion anything. So God is not a craftsman. God is a maker, is a creator. And for him to be a creator, he had to create everything, anything, from nothing. So stop me if you disagree. Do you agree or disagree? Does it make sense? Make sense? Okay. The third view is the view of the Gnostics. The Gnostics. The Gnostics are these people who believed that everything that has relation with the matter, بالمادة, is evil. Is evil. So they cannot understand how is it that God can take himself a body. A body is a matter. You see, you touch, you feel, right? They don't believe in this. And then they will say, well, and if he is crucified, then he's not, whoever was crucified is not a real body. So they see, they err a lot. يعني لخبطوا في حاجات كتيرة جدا جدا لأنهم كل حاجة لها علاقة بالمادة أو بالعالم المحسوس هم ما بيؤمنوش بيها هم بيؤمنوا بس بالروح. Then the incarnation for them is void. It doesn't mean anything. And I want to ask you this. Okay, how about the first group of people? They are so close to the atheists. We call them the Epicureans. Do you think the incarnation would mean anything to them? They don't believe in God. What do you think? How their view of creation impacts their view of the incarnation? What do you think? سؤال ممكن أسأله بطريقة تانية يعني. Okay. The first group of people didn't believe in the existence of God. Their view of the creation was a view that it has been created haphazardly, without maker, without a mastermind. How would that view impact the view of the incarnation, their view of the incarnation? First, yes. Defies it, right. Denies it, because if they don't believe in a God who created the whole world, how would they believe that God became man? But there is no God to start with, right? And what would be the reason for a God becoming man, okay, to save? Save what? The atheists believe that we are here on earth for a certain time. And then I live 80 years, 9 years, 100 years, give or take. And after that, I go to nothingness. I become non-existent. Point. Period. There is no life after death for them. There is no resurrection for them. There is no need for it. There is no God. A few years ago, I was in Toronto, and they had this sign on the buses, okay? They were obviously promoting atheism. They said, there is no God, something like rest assured or something, they start something like that. Help me if you remember the exact words. But probably there is no God, so stop worrying and enjoy your life. I don't want anybody to give an account to. I don't want law. I don't want to give account for my actions, whether they are good or bad. I don't. There is no God. Why don't you enjoy your life? So that's their view. So if there is no God, there is no incarnation, there is no life after death. It means if I negate the incarnation, it is exactly as I am negating life after death. Does it make sense? For us Christians, if we negate the incarnation, that means that we're negating life after death. Why? What was the benefit of the incarnation, or the goal of the incarnation? Think of it that way. Le Rabbina Yeshua itgesed. To save us. Save us from death. And give us life. Life eternal into Him. Then we believe that there is life in our Lord Jesus Christ by abiding in Him. And He took our death to give Him, to give us His life. That was the great goal of the incarnation. God the Word did incarnate and manifested Himself in flesh for that reason, out of the goodness and out of the love of His Father to save us, for us men, you know, to come and give us life. That was the reason of the incarnation. So to negate the incarnation is to negate life after death. So that was about how my view of the creation would impact my view of the incarnation. So to an atheist, it would be very hard for us to explain the incarnation, because he doesn't understand the creation at first. He doesn't believe in God. You see where I'm going? Okay. One point I wanted to ask. What happened after the transgression of man? What happened? What ruled the world after the transgression? After the transgression of man in paradise, we know that God gave them a grace, right? And that grace was that He created men on the image of God. So that man can share in the being of the Word of God. Man can reflect the mind of God. As you can see, that's a supernatural grace. A grace that was not given to any creature God has made. So God has made man out of nothing, from nothing. He called him into being, but He granted him that grace of being on His image to unite unto God. And through that grace, man can be assured of eternal life. So we were created to have eternal life in the Word of God. Yes, Dina. Adam and Eve were perfect before the fall. Adam and Eve were created with a free will. But we're created with a grace, with an inclination to do good. But with a free will. Now, free will, they can go either way. Right? And because they can go either way, God has given them a law, a prohibition, simply. He told them, listen, if you keep the knowledge of God, if you keep your connection and your relationship to the Word of God, who is life, then you're guaranteed to stay in paradise, and you're guaranteed incorruption in heaven. That's the condition, okay? And that's the law. So they were created that way. What happened after the transgression? What ruled the earth? They chose the wrong choices, right? They were deceived by the devil, right? When they were deceived by the devil, they basically separated themselves from life, from the word of God. Do you follow? When they do that, then they are prone to corruption and to death. And they return to the origin, which is nothing. So basically, man would lose eternal life in the word of God because of the transgression, because he separated himself from the fountain of life. Is it clear, or do you have any questions about this point? That's very important. After transgression, death ruled the earth. The nature of man became corrupt because my nature now was inclined to do the things that are not God. What was inclined to do was inclined to the evil. Okay? So when I lose that kind of grace which God has given into me, okay, then I lose life because this grace was related to the Word of God. And I separated myself from the Word of God. When I say the Word of God, I mean the second hypostasis of the Trinity, of the Holy Trinity, meaning I separated myself from God the Word because I was created on the image of God. Who is God the Word? Do you agree, or do you, are you lost, or what? Lena. So what I wanted to say is, life has been lost by man after the transgression. Now his nature, he's ruled by death and corruption, and he will go to nothing. That was the consequence of the transgression or the sin. So, if it is so, I want to ask you. So, what would God do? What would God do? Saint Athanasius called that, there was no other way, okay, to the divine dilemma but in the incarnation. Put other way, there was no other way to save man but through the incarnation. What is the dilemma? What is the divine dilemma with this? What do you think? Do you understand the question? No? Yeah. Why there was no other way to save man other than the incarnation of the Word of God? Man was created after the image of God to live eternally, if he ever kept that grace of the knowledge of God, of sharing the reasonable nature of the Word of God. He lost it by the transgression. Now he become mortal. He dies, and through corruption, he goes back to nothing because we were created from nothing. Okay? That wasn't the original plan of God. It wasn't. So, what would God do? Give us life back. How? Through the incarnation. Okay. So Saint Athanasius was saying this. Okay. So I'll read you what he says, and you tell me. What do you think of it? So, scenario one. Okay? Should God go back upon his word, that man, having transgressed, should not die? I'll say that again, okay? Should God go back upon his word that man, having transgressed, should not die? يعني يرجع ربنا يرجع في كلامه. هو ربنا قال له لو انت ما سمعتش الوصية دي موتا تموت. That's the law. مش كده؟ طيب هو ما سمعش الوصية، سواء بإهمال منه للنعمة اللي ربنا يسوع ادهاله أو بغواية الحية، سواء دي أو دي، هو ما سمعش الوصية. القانون لازم يتنفذ. القانون كان إيه؟ موتا تموت. موتا تموت مش معناها جسمه يموت، معناها موت أبدي، معناها انفصال أبدي عن الله، معناها استمرار في الموت إلى الأبد. وده ما كانش عقوبة ولا كانت يعني law، لكن الإنسان اتخلق بحرية الإرادة، حرية الإرادة أنه يختار. ربنا اداله الحرية ده، هو استخدم الحرية ده غلط. طيب الحل الأولاني علشان ربنا ينقذ الإنسان إن هو ما يخلوش يموت، يعني يرجع ربنا يرجع في كلامه، ينفع؟ مينا؟ مش ممكن. سانت أثناسيوس بيقول كده: God being the father of truth could not falsify himself regarding death. لا يمكن الله، لا يمكن ان هو يرجع في كلامه يغلط نفسه. نو no. هو قال له النتيجة هتموت. طيب ده السيناريو الاولاني. السيناريو الثاني: Should beings which once shared the nature of God perish and turn back into non-existence through corruption? Scenario الثاني: And those creatures that were created after the image of God, because they transgressed the law, they return into non-existence, they die. Meaning, God doesn't care. They chose for themselves. God wanted them to live forever. God gave them the grace of the knowledge of God to live forever, and they chose to transgress the commandment. So they die, and God leaves them die and corrupt, and end of story. That's scenario two. But that didn't happen. Why? So Saint Athanasius is saying this. So I'm going to read you a couple of sentences. I'd like you to comment on it. It was unworthy of the goodness of God that creatures made by him should be brought to nothing through the deceit of the devil. Again, it was unworthy of the goodness of God that creatures made by him should be brought to nothing through the deceit of the devil. What do you think of this sentence, Lena? Yeah. It was unworthy of the goodness of God that creatures, meaning mankind, made by him should be brought to nothing through the deceit of the devil. It's self-explanatory, I guess. What do you think? It was unworthy for God, because he's all good, okay, to leave men corrupt and die. God is all good. God is all loving. He cannot leave man who has been created after his own marriage to die. Cannot. Okay, the other thing is, it was unfitting that the work of man, of God in mankind should disappear, whether through their own negligence or through the deceit of evil spirits. Meaning, it was unfitting that the work of God in mankind should disappear. يعني ربنا خلق الإنسان على صورته ومثاله علشان يعيش معه إلى الأبد. ده الخليقة بتاعت ربنا. فما كانش ممكن إن العمل بتاع ربنا ده حد يجي ويلغيه. لا يمكن ربنا يسمح بحاجة زي دي. إن هو الله كلي القدرة، كلي المعرفة، ضابط الكل، كلي الصلاح، كلي المحبة. فما كانش ينفع ان هو يسيب الانسان اللي خلقه على صورته ومثاله ان هو يهلك. لا يمكن. Otherwise, Saint Athanasius would continue and say, would it not have been better never to have created man at first? يعني مش كان احسن بقى في الاول طب ربنا يعني خلقهم ليه؟ لو ربنا خلق الإنسان عشان يعيش للأبد وبعد كده بسبب الخطية وبسبب التعدي وبسبب مخالفة الوصية اتحكم علينا هو حيموت وحيموت للأبد وحينتهي خلاص. طيب العمل بتاع ربنا في الإنسان خلاص انتهى، لأن ربنا ما خلقهوش علشان يموت، والصلاح بتاع ربنا ومحبته ما يقبلوش إن الخليقة بتاعته تنتهي بالشكل اللي حصل ده. كان يبقى افضل لربنا ان هو ما خلقهمش اصلا من الاصل. So the ruin of God's own work before his very own eyes would argue limitation to God and not goodness. George, I'll repeat the sentence. Saint Athanasius says, the ruin of God's own work before his very eyes would argue limitation to God and not goodness. What do you think? Right. Absolutely right. That's exactly what Saint Athanasius is saying. If God, before his own eyes, leave man to die and to perish, then that attributes some limitation to the power of God to save man. As if God cannot save man. Because it's unfitting for the goodness of God to look at this happening and leave man to death and corruption. So conclusion, it was impossible that God should leave man to be carried off by corruption. Why? Because it would be unfitting and unworthy of himself. That's why the incarnation was a must. The incarnation was a must. There was no other way. And now, remember this. When God created man after his own image, he was somehow planning to take flesh and become man to save sinners. When God created man after his own image, it was because he was planning to manifest in the flesh, become man, and save sinners. He was planning on that. So meaning that the creation of man was foreshadowing the incarnation of the Word of God. God created man after his own image, knowing that one day he's going to take that image to save man. Because God created man as an embodied spirit. Spirit and body, right? Angels are spirits. Animals are body. But man is a spirit and body and soul. So, God created man after his own image. And when I say after his own image, meaning having the grace of knowing God The grace of knowing his maker is the grace that God gave man. The grace of knowing his maker, the grace of knowing his creator, that's the grace. The grace of having a reasonable being, that's the grace. So he created him after that image, knowing that one day he would take that image, which is the body, manifest in flesh, and save man who was corrupted by the death and sin. Do you agree? الموضوع ده صعب قوي على فكرة. But because in the beginning, God created man after his own image, after Genesis. The Bible says that man was created after the image of God. And that image, when it was lost in man and he needed a savior, the savior couldn't be a man or couldn't be an angel. It had to be the maker. So the maker was the savior. Why? Because the maker of the law is the one who could fulfill the law and repeal the law. Meaning, there was a law given, right? The law had to be fulfilled before it is repealed. يعني لازم القانون يتنفذ قبل ما ربنا يلغي القانون ده. لازم القانون يتنفذ لأن ده بيحقق العدل الإلهي. لأن ربنا is just. ربنا is true. وفي نفس الوقت الميرسي بتاعت ربنا اللي في نفس المستوى بتاع العدل بتاع ربنا هي كمان لازم تتحقق. تتحقق ازاي؟ تتحقق لما ربنا يجي بنفسه ويخلص العالم ده اللي هو هلك بالخطية والموت اتسلط عليه والفساد دخل للطبيعة البشرية. Does it make sense? Not always an embodied spirit. I didn't say that. Okay. Was the second hypostasis of the Trinity, God the Word, was he always an embodied spirit, meaning having a body? No. Yeah. Oh, okay. I see.
Not just being spirit, but being body.
Right. Yeah. But I is that what you mean? No, God is a spirit. Okay? When God took the body, okay, from the Holy Spirit and the Holy Theotokos, the Virgin Mary, when he took that body, he appeared in the body, right? Did the body contain the Word of God? Do you understand the question? Did the body that he took contain the Word of God? Meaning, was the Word of God limited in that body? No, because he is the Word of God. His divinity, okay, being God, his containment in that body did not prohibit his presence everywhere else in the creation because he is God. He is God. He's present everywhere. He sustains the whole universe because he's life. But being in the body, okay, was to save those men who transgressed and who were really ruled by death and corruption, okay? Was just for that. But God the Word never been an embodied spirit. God is a spirit. So, Saint Athanasius says, the Word of God has to be the one who come and saves mankind. Why? Because he's asking some questions. He says, who in the beginning had made all things out of nothing? The answer is God the Word. God the Father created the whole universe through His Word. God the Word. He is the maker of all things. Who could bring again the corruptible to incorruption? The answer to that is God the Word. He is alone who could bring the corruptible to incorruption. He could renew this nature because He is the one who created at first. So it has to be Him who renew it. It has to be Him who brings this corrupted nature to an incorrupted nature. It has to be the Word of God. It can't be a man, it can't be an angel or an archangel or a prophet or anybody. Who could maintain to the Father the consistency of His character? مين يحقق المعادلة دي بتاعت العدل الإلهي and to maintain to the Father His consistent character. لأن ربنا ما بيغيرش رأيه. ربنا ما بيضحكش على لما قال له موت أنت موت معناه أنه لو ساب الوصية هيموت. ما كانش فيه غير ربنا يسوع المسيح اللي هو ابن الله الكلمة اللي يقدر يحقق الحاجات دي. يقدر يغير الطبيعة الفاسدة لطبيعة غير فاسدة. ويقدر ان هو يحفظ لله هو الله العدل الالهي حققه بالموت اللي هو صنعه على الصليب بالخلاص. هو الوحيد اللي يقدر يخلق الكل من جديد. He is the one who could recreate the whole universe again. ما كانش ينفع ان انسان تاني حتى لو كان righteous او حتى لو كان بار ان هو اللي يقدم الريدمشن ده عن ادم وحواء او عن الجنس البشري. كان لازم يكون الله نفسه الله المتجسد. That's why God took flesh and decided to come and save us. And who could be worthy to be an ambassador, an advocate, an intercessor for all with the Father? Only God the Word. هو الوحيد اللي ينفع أن يكون advocate, intercessor, redeemer, and savior. He is the only one. Who except the Word of God Himself, He alone being the Word of the Father and above all. ده كل الحاجات دي بتثبت أنه لما يجي حد يقول لنا تقول له عن التجسد أو تكلم أي حد عن التجسد يقول لك حاشا لله, الله لا يلد ولا يولد, الله انت بتقول ايه, انت مجنون و و و. لكن هما مش فاهمين ليه كان لازم ان ربنا يتجسد. مش فاهمين يعني ايه ان ربنا يحقق العدل والرحمه في شخص السيد المسيح. مش فاهمين ان الله اللي حط القانون هو لوحده اللي يقدر علشان يلغي العقوبة بتاعة الموت. كان لازم ينفذ القانون قبل ما يلغي العقوبة بتاعة الموت بالتجسد بتاعه. عمل حاجتين, قدم الجسد ده للموت فمات عننا كلنا. فكل حاجة غلط أنا بعملها في حياتي وكلنا بنعملها في حياتنا وكل العالم من أول آدم لحد آخر الدور هيعملوها غلط في حياتهم اللي كان تمنها عقوبتها موت, ربنا يسوع المسيح دفعها بالموت بتاعه once and for all for everyone على الصليب. ما فيش حد يقدر يعمل كده غير الله الكلمة. دي نمرة واحد, فلغى العقوبة بتاعة الموت بالصليب. نمرة اتنين, جدد الطبيعة بتاعتنا. احنا اتخلقنا بطبيعة غير فاسدة. طبيعة الهدف ان احنا نفضل عايشين مع ربنا في الحياه الابديه في الفردوس النعيم وفي بعد كده في ملكوت السماوات الى الابد في اتحاد كامل مع الله. خلقنا بسبب محبته لينا, ما كانش لاي سبب تاني, بسبب صلاحه ومحبته لينا. خلقتني في الليترجي بتقول نقص I'll switch in English, yes. So, God, I was just talking that, saying that only God the Word could save the whole race of mankind. The reason is, He is the maker of all, and no one but Him could recreate all. He was the one who created the mankind with an incorrupted nature, a nature having the grace of the knowledge of God and to live with God forever. When man transgressed and became mortal, it had to be that God comes and save man from that death. No man can save man from death. And if a righteous man can give himself on behalf of another man, he cannot save the whole world from Adam to the end of the times. He cannot give, he cannot pay the penalty of death on behalf of the whole mankind from Adam to the end of times. It's unlimited redemption that it had to be done by an unlimited being. And that is the Word of God. That's why it had to be the Word of God who incarnate, who came and manifested in flesh and gave man salvation. So He took that body, that mortal body, from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Theotokos Saint Mary, delivered that body to death, paying the death resulting from all the sins of the world. He paid that once. So whoever believes in Him would have eternal life. Secondly, He gave us the incorrupted nature. He recreated us anew. That's the two things that God the Word has made through His incarnation. Thirdly, it was very important that God would teach men His knowledge again. Remember, mankind drifted away from God. They invented for themselves gods. They made themselves like gods from stones and from wood. They worshipped them. They worshipped other men as gods. Some of them, they were inclined to evil spirits. Some of them were maybe inclined to the cult of the dead. You read the human history and you find yourself that man has drifted away from the knowledge of God. Totally. Man didn't know his maker, his creator. And that's one of the reasons why God has incarnate, to teach them His knowledge. He wanted to come and to reinstate that knowledge that was lost by man. Rejuvenated. And that person who drew it before, meaning the Creator, that Creator who created us on His image, would be the only one who could regenerate and recreate us anew again. And that's what happened exactly. Remember, God never neglected men. If men neglected the grace of God, God gave them first the law, So through the law, if he lives a righteous life, he goes back to the knowledge of God. And when they neglected the law, he sent to them the prophets, so they can learn from those who knew. And the prophets were talking about the law of God, about the commandments, right? And when they neglected the prophets, God also gave them the works of the creation, so they can look around and see God in everything around them, in the nature, in the sky, in heavens, on earth, everywhere. You can see the work of God. But if man was tardy in looking up to heaven and neglected also the work of God or the presence of God in heaven and didn't even know God through the works of God in heaven or on earth or in the whole universe, then God had to come himself and teach man about God. That's why he came. Like, think with me. Jesus Christ, our Savior, could have had this flesh, delivered to death, get buried, resurrected, ascended, all in like maybe 1 week. Why he would live in the body for 33 years? Because he wanted everybody on earth to see him. He wanted everybody on earth to learn from his works, to get taught by the truth. Remember when he was going everywhere and teaching the multitude, and they were saying, we have never seen any teacher like that teaching with authority. So if they were looking for God in the philosophy, they would look at Jesus and they would be astonished by his teaching. So God could reach them through that. If they were looking to God, or if they were inclined to evil spirits, they would see these evil spirits driven out by Jesus Christ. So they know that he has lordship and authority over the evil spirits. If they were inclined to, if they used to worship men as gods, and they want heroes, they would look at Jesus and they see in him Lord over all the creation through his miracles and through his works. If they look, if they were inclined to the cult of the dead and they look at his resurrection and they know that he is the master of life. He is life of life. He's the author of life. So God the Word incarnate and took flesh and manifested himself in flesh so as to reinstate that knowledge of himself to men, which they lost after the transgression. That was one of the reasons why is the incarnation important. And should... Okay. But the answer to this would be, God the Word was not defiled. His nature was not defiled by taking a human body, but the human body was sanctified by the presence and indwelling of the God the Word. It's like exactly, Saint Athanasius gave a good example about this. And he said, think of it. Would the sun rays be defiled if they go in the garbage box? No. But the garbage box would be purified by the sun rays, right? So God the Word, having a body, That doesn't make God the Word less. He sanctified that body for us. So now our body are sanctified through Him, in Him. So with His incarnation, He gave us that ability to conquer death and to live eternally with Him through His redemption. And without the incarnation, we would have no way of gaining back the pure nature that we were created at first place. Without His incarnation, there is no hope for us to attain eternal life. We would always be ruled by death and corruption because we transgressed the law of God. That's why in St. John, it says, God has so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, for whoever believes in Him will not perish. Simple. Whoever has the Son has life. And whoever doesn't have the Son will not see life. It's very straightforward. If I believe in the Son of God, if I believe that He came manifested in flesh, that is life. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ said, that is eternal life, to know You, the only true God, and Your Son, Jesus Christ. Right? That's eternal life, to know God, to know the true God. It is eternal life. If I refuse that faith, then I don't have life and I'm not going to see life. And don't look anywhere else. The Maker, the Creator, is the Redeemer. There is no one else. The Creator of mankind, the Creator of the whole universe, is exactly the Redeemer, is God incarnate. I'm sorry, I started late, but I took long time, but anyway. You have any questions, comments? Yes, Mina. Yes. Yes. Okay, so when God the Word took the body, okay, He was a perfect man and a perfect God. Son of man, Son of God. The body itself that He took, yeah, was a body that He slept with, He ate with, He wept. You know, He was living a human life like any human. But because that body, because God the Word indwelled in that body, He could deliver that body to death and be a sufficient exchange to all of us, okay, to cover the death of all of us once and for all. Why? Because whoever took the body was God the Word, who is unlimited. So the indwelling of God the Word inside that body, okay, was a sufficient redemption for the whole world, for the whole human race. That's the main reason why it had to be the Son of God who perfected that salvation. It cannot be another man, because man is limited. And man has lost the incorrupt nature. He has become a corrupt nature. He cannot save another. So one more question, because that's a very good question. You reminded me something. Okay. Yeah. No. No. Whoever suffered on the cross is not the divine. The divine doesn't suffer. The divine doesn't die. The divine is eternal. The divine is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. That's the divine. That's the attributes of God. And they cannot change. Because God is unchangeable. And God is uncontained. That's the divine. The human is like any human. It's limited, gets tired, needs sleep, needs hunger. Human body. That's why in the liturgy we say that his divinity parted not from his humanity for a single moment or twinkle of an eye. Two nature, two distinct nature in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Full man and full God. Son of man, son of God. Is it close, Mina, or? Can you raise your voice, Dina, so everybody can hear?
So when you were saying that the humanity was someone else suffering, then how can you distinctly say that the humanity was suffering,
that they were not suffering? Our forefathers said that the humanity is like a piece of man, and the divinity is like when we keep it, it is red. This is the divinity. So when we have a piece of man,
the two natures were united without mingling, without the divine becoming human or the human becoming divine. That's what Maggid is saying. But because of this unity, the Lord Christ can give a salvation for the whole world. Because he agreed to take a body like our body. And to deliver that mortal body to death on our behalf for the sins of us and for the whole world, so that everybody can enjoy the eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened. So that started with Mina. Do you have another question, Mina? Any other questions? No? All right, thank you very much. I'd like you to, if you have some time and you want to read really something really important, start to read about the incarnation from Saint Athanasius. Don't read second-hand knowledge. I know some of us start to read second-hand knowledge because it's much easier, because we think that if we read the 4th century fathers, we're not going to understand. For me, that's like topsy-turvy, really. You know what I mean? You don't get the real thing. Got to read first-hand knowledge from those fathers who were so close to the age of the apostles and Christ, and who understood by the Holy Spirit these dogmas and put it on paper. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you read, you're going to be so much enlightened, and you're gonna understand this is one of the most important dogmas in our faith, and we should be always ready to give an answer for whoever asks us. So don't take it easy, don't take it lightly, please. Thank you very much, and God bless you.